we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you come and visit us, come and worship with us, come and be a part of what God is doing. You know, there, to be quite honest with you, there are people that have come, and they are, I'm going to use this word. I don't use it lightly, but quite frankly, they're amazed at what God is able to do through our congregation being the size that it is. Today, we may not be many, but we serve a mighty God, and we are continuing this. Last week, I was preaching out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, about Timothy, be an example in your word, in your conduct, in your love, in your spirit, in your faith, and in your purity. And there have been times in my life where people said, you know, wow, great is your faith. You know, the person said that boy, I was much younger, has more faith than all the rest of us combined. And I don't say that boasting. That was what they said. I just continue to live day by day and trust in God and trust His provision. But I said, you know, I don't want that to be the last declaration that I had of great faith. I don't want that to be 20 years ago, 29 years ago, 27 years ago, whatever, however many years ago. I think it was actually 25 years ago when that was said. I don't want that to be the last declaration that I hear of great faith. I want to hear people talking about faith in demonstration on a regular basis. I want it to be seen that I have greater faith and greater trust in God in the latter years than I did in my former years. So I want to be an example of great faith, of great purity, of great love, of having a great spirit. And so come and be a part of us, because I believe that God is doing great things at Merritt Assembly of God, and that even better things. We are believing for better. Right now, I told the church on Sunday, we are praying that God would bless us with a bus, that we would be able to do more ministry with that bus. Not so that I could have another bill or another piece of equipment to maintain, but that something could be used to it that would help us to launch in to do more ministry and reach more people with the gospel. You see, we're not on easy street coasting it in. We're here saying, God, there are 7 billion people on the planet. There are more people alive right now that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ than at any time in history. This is not the time to take it easy. This is the time to press on. And so we are doing that. We're praying that God would increase our finances at Merritt Assembly, where we would be able to bring our youth pastor on full time, so that we could do ministry better. And so those are some things that we've got that we are believing God for and knowing that He is able to do them. And so that is the reality. So I want to challenge you, if you want to come be a part of that. One more thought about this tragedy, this massacre that happened last weekend. And I want to speak this specifically to Christians, and that is, I want to remind you about what Jesus said when they came and they told him about the people who had died and the tower collapse, and there were people who had been murdered and Pilate had mingled their blood. Jesus said, don't think that you're any better than they are. Don't think that you're any better than they are. because death awaits all of us. And so I want to caution you about being judgmental and pointing fingers and saying, well, they got what they deserve and all of that sort of stuff. That is not the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ says that he wants none to perish and he wants all to come to everlasting life. So pray for them. Love them as you would, like that Samaritan did, that bleeding and wounded person that was, you know, on the side of the road. When someone is hurting, it is a time to love on them with the love of Jesus Christ. It is not the time to judge them. And so a lot of horrible things are being said. I get newsletters and emails and, you know, people actually blaming Christians for that tragedy that occurred. And that's a stretch so far. My brain hurts trying to make that stretch. Let's make sure that people know that it's the devil who's out to do them harm. It's not God. God is out to give them every opportunity to come to repentance. And so, no matter what happens, I like to remind people of that passage in the New Testament where Paul says, "And such were some of you." Every one of us has a past. Every one of us that names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have been forgiven of something. And, you know, the Bible says that if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole part. And so we've all been forgiven something, and that something would have sent us to hell. Let's make sure that we appreciate the fact that grace, God's grace, triumphs over sin. So be praying for them. Do want to remind you, because we do have a schedule change. Yesterday was our last vintage service for several weeks, and so we want you to make note of that. Because here's what happens invariably. We have not canceled many times, but every time we cancel, somebody shows up at the door, and then they call and say, "Hey, are y'all having the vintage service today?" And so we want you to have as much notice as possible. We'll be relaunching that once everyone's travel schedules lightens up, and we'll try and tweak it and make it even more productive and more effective. So we want to take you back to Isaiah, the 14th chapter this morning, and I'm just going to read verses 12 through 17, and then we'll get into the lesson today. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High.' You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of the prisoners?'" So we're going to look at the attitude, the mindset that Lucifer had that led to his downfall and led to his eternal destination of being weakened and humiliated in hell. It says here, "For you have said in your heart." The first thing that I want to point out to you today is not everything that crosses our lips is an accurate reflection of what's going on in our heart. The scripture says the fool has said in his heart. It doesn't say that everybody who said there is no God is the only fools. There are people who are, their heart declares on a regular basis, "There is no God. There is no God, therefore I do not need to worship him. There's no God, so I do not need to prioritize his will in my life. There is no God, so there is no future. There is no eternity. There is just the here and now. There is no God, so whatever I feel is that which I should do." It is a lifestyle that manifests out of a heart that refuses to acknowledge the reality. And here it says that Satan had made a declaration. Lucifer, as he's known in this passage, had made a declaration in his heart, and he said this, "I will ascend into heaven. Isn't it interesting? The Tower of Babel was designed to do everything that God had told them not to do. They were supposed to spread out and replenish the earth, and they decided to congregate together and build a tower to reach into the heavens. Babel, it is believed to be the in the same geographic region that Babylon was, and it's, and I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend into heaven. And it focuses on the I will instead of what God wants and what God can do. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. By the way, there are a number of repeated references to I will. Let me point them out to you. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down low. We like to focus on our abilities, on ourselves. We are self-centered beings. I have a note here that is written that I wrote down in my Bible. It's a thought that I'd like to share with you. It says, you can never be like the Most High when you are focused on yourself. You can never be like the Most High when you are focused on yourself. And whenever you're focused on your abilities, your hurts, your pains, your victories, your words, your experiences, if everything is filtered through the lens of you, you are not reflecting the nature of God. You are reflecting the nature of Satan. Here's a newsflash for you. Satan is got all of his energies focused on you, not because he likes you, not because he's interested in you. He's wanting to demonstrate his capabilities of deception and enticement. He is basically wanting to thumb his nose at God one more time and saying, those are my capabilities. But I remind you, I shared this on yesterday's program. One day, Satan, the Antichrist, the beast, all of those fallen angels, there are angels who are kept bound in everlasting darkness. They have been deemed by God so dangerous that they do not, I mean, can you imagine with all of the horrific stuff that takes place in our society, that there are angels that are exponentially more dangerous to the existence of humanity than that God has kept bound in eternal darkness? They never get to interact with humanity ever again. And God says, all of that is going to be hurled into the lake of fire. That's how powerful God is. And so I would much rather focus on his abilities than on my abilities. He says, I will ascend into heaven. And so there are people that are focused on to the heights that they are going to ascend. That, you know, they view themselves as self-made, self-purposed, self-determining. And I tell people, if you can get there by yourself, it's not the destination that God had for you. If you can get there all by yourself, it's too low of a destination. You and I need God's help. Hey, we want God's placement. Okay? Jesus told the parable of the man who went in and sat down at the lead table only for the master of the banquet to come along and say, take a lower seat because there is someone more honorable than you. Wouldn't it be great if we focused on creating a personality of honor instead of trying to draw attention? You see, society tends to be drawn to those things that are elevated. You know, we recently had a rocket launch, a couple of rocket launches over the past few weeks, and everybody run, at least I do. I run out a lot of times to see if I can see. And boy, that last rocket that got out of here, they had described it as a heavy load launch. And so I was expecting that it might take a little longer to get out of Dodge, if you will. But man, that thing, we did have substantially more window rattling at my house, but it really, really reached altitude and a very rapid at a very rapid pace. When my wife and I first came to Florida, we became part of a church, and we were there at the first banquet, and we have the attitude of we want to take the farthest away seat, and so we saw where the food was, and we saw a table, and we started headed back to that, and we said, you know, let's just stop here. This is about middle of the road. We can't get into too much trouble here. And it was a good thing that we did, because the table that we were headed to, which was at the far end of where all the food was, that ended up being the head table. We didn't know, because we were new to the church, and we almost lived out that story that Jesus told. We almost lived that out, saying, oh, you can't sit here because this is reserved for other people. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And that's what humanism is really all about right now. It is about exalting man above God. You see, ancient Greeks, they created gods in their image. The gods that they had the same weaknesses, the same sins, the same fallacies as humanity. There is a vast difference between the Hebrew God, the Christian God, and those of Greek mythology, and that is this. We did not create God in our image. God created us in His. He is not given to sin the way that we are. He is victorious over sin. He is holy. He's righteous. He cannot change. He's never going to fail. And so he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan has a desire to rule and reign over the kingdom of God. That's God's kingdom. In fact, if you remember when Satan came and tempted Jesus, he said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the nations of the earth. The great thing about Jesus is he had come from God. He knew God. He knew where he was from and where he was going. And he knew that that wasn't Satan's to give, because Satan did not have that capability. I tell people this, and that is, whatever you do, don't ever be self-appointed. Allow somebody else to establish that in your life. Allow your authority to be God-based. I don't want to rule over the things of God. I want God to rule over the things of my life. And so pride was this extreme factor in Lucifer's heart. He says, I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And here's the epitome of it, his ultimate goal. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. That has always been Satan's thing. You see, he was never content. If it is true, as some theologians profess, that Lucifer was one of the preeminent spiritual beings in heaven, he was heaven's worship leader. If that is the case, what you see in the heart of Lucifer is that he was discontent with his assigned portion, and he wanted more. And we can learn from that. We need to recognize that discontentment that God has given, a discontentment with the things that God has given to us, is a very dangerous thing. It will cause you to abandon what God has placed in your life, and it will result in great darkness. So don't abandon the position that God has placed you in, because he's placed you in those positions because he knows you will thrive in those positions, because he has created you to thrive. It doesn't mean that you would never be promoted, but I would much rather God come to me and say, come up higher, than him say, you know what, you've elevated yourself to a place that I have not elevated you to, and I'm going to have to humble you here at this point in time. In fact, the Bible says that if we are humble, it says he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And he says, here's the reality. Listen to the boast. Listen to the hard attitude. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now his I will statements have transformed into a being statement. And that is, I'm going to be just like God. I'm going to be just like God. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 3 just a second. Genesis chapter 3. I'm turning. My pages are stuck together. And I'm trying to use a hand there. Okay. And so let me just remind you of this conversation between the serpent and Eve. Has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. By the way, she had added something to what God had said. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the days you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will get this. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, Satan is now trying to get Eve and therefore Adam into the same mindset that is represented here in Isaiah chapter 14, and that is, we want to be like God. I tell you what, here's a news flash for you. God wants you to be like him. Satan tried to convince them that God was holding out. God wasn't holding out. He is going to be revealing glory to glory throughout all of eternity. Moses' prayer was, God, teach me your ways. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, as you have seen me, to go and do these things. You and I, he came to show us and to teach us the ways of God, because he wants us to be like him. Would you like a scripture to validate that? Be holy, even as I am holy, saith the Lord. God wants you holy. Now, if I can say this, God wants us holy more than he wants us happy. You say, what are you talking about? God doesn't want me happy? That's not what I said. His ultimate goal is holiness, because when we are holy, then we are going to have joy. We are going to have contentment. We are going to have peace. We're not going to be in a striving mode the way that Lucifer was in Isaiah chapter 14. We're not going to be in a disobedient mode the way that Eve and Adam were in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be in an obedience mode, because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, you are going to experience things like you've never experienced them before. I heard a person say one time, it said, it was a good thing that Adam ate the tree. Now, this was a preacher that said this. By the way, this is not something I believe. He says, it's a good thing that Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because how else were they going to know the difference between good and evil if they hadn't eaten of that tree? And it's like, God never intended for you to know evil. It's not an intellectual knowing. It is an experiential knowing. God never wanted you to experience sin. He always wanted you to experience the blessings of holiness and the wonderful peace and harmony that comes from walking in relationship with him. He wanted you walking in authority, not defeat. He wanted you walking in victory, not as a captive. And so he says, I will be like the Most High. And so I want to ask you today, have you come to the place where you are ready to literally surrender yourself to God so that he can make more out of you than you've ever been before? Or are you still trying to do God's job? You know what? God, have you ever been around somebody that they couldn't do their job, but they always tried to tell you how to do yours? That's what I really see with people who reject God's plan and God's will in a relationship with God. They don't want to do the things that they're responsible for, but they have so much expertise and wisdom and knowledge that they can tell God how to do his job without any blemish. That sarcasm fully intended there. I want God to be God. I'm thankful I'm not God. I'm thankful you're not either. And so it, verse 15, it says, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of the prisoners?'" One day, the eyes of all humanity is going to be opened, and they're going to see the humiliated version of Satan. They're going to say, "And that is what we allowed to intimidate us. That's the one that we allowed to dominate us." I want to declare to you today that Satan is a defeated foe. I use this illustration. I only saw it once in my life. We grew up in the country, and when my great-grandmother was still alive, she raised chickens, and she didn't go to the store to buy chickens. She went out and she harvested her own. And so there was one day she went out and she got this chicken. And if you've never been out in the country, you're going to think this is really gross, but it's what happens all the time. And she went out and she got a chicken that she was going to pluck and prepare for dinner. And she went out and she wrung its neck, and the neck came off of the chicken. And that chicken began to run. Now it's got no head, and it's running around with more strength, with more energy than I'd ever seen it run before. And it's completely and totally headless. And I said, "That chicken looks more alive now that it's dead than it ever did while it was alive." Satan is running around as a defeated foe because he knows that his time is short. But I want to declare to you today that he is a defeated foe because Jesus is our conquering King. And I don't want you to be deceived by all of the activity that you see him going around, knowing his time is short. Instead, I want you to focus on the Word of God. God is going to bring him low. Satan is a defeated foe. Make sure that you don't fall for his lies, fall for his tactics. God wants to bring you to be with him. God bless you. I pray that you have a marvelous Thursday. We'll look forward to being here with you tomorrow, right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."